My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who
and
has called
back
you out of darkness
radio,
into his
no
marvelous
off
light,
limits and
which in time
is filtered
past were not a people,
glasses. I'm
but
your host,
are now
Pastor
the
Greg.
People
Our
of God,
number
which had
two.
Not obtained mercy,
Our
but now have obtained mercy.
And as we do twice a month here, we enjoy having members of Project 21 Black Leadership Network with us.
And now, here's your host,
Pastor Greg. Lots going on. Obviously, a lot happening, and I'm very excited to welcome to the program. Benji Irby is joining us from an undisclosed location deep in the bunker. Hey, man, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks
how
for being
you
here.
Doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I'm glad
good.
To be here. Yeah, my normal location would be Miami Beach, Florida, but I'm not home today.
Understood. Well, that's a very nice location to be at.
Yeah.
Definitely. I lived in Clearwater for a period of time.
Oh, okay. West side.
Yeah, I had a couple of restaurants down in Miami. One of them was actually out on Bird Road.
Okay, I know Bird Road. Yeah, I know Bird Road.
Yep, and then the other one was about 165th, right in the heart of the Catholic and Jewish community. We were a burger joint. But on Fridays, we couldn't serve burgers.
So we actually had to serve fried fish on Fridays. We were the only franchise that served fried fish, but we were like, look, we're either closed on Friday or we're serving fish. That's the option. Hey. So we're doing fish. What are you going to do? Anyway,
works.
There you go. There you go. Well, so I saw, I responded to, and I had seen, there's been a lot of flack going on, you know, the NBA and the just kind of the whole push within professional sports, you know, starting with the Colin Kaepernick thing, and then moving forward from that, you had LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and a number of others, you know, with the whole BLM thing going on. And recently, Phil Jackson had a conversation with his grandson and basically came out and said, look, I don't watch the sports anymore because I'm tired of its politicking. And Jalen Rose decided to come out and suggest that, well, you know, Phil Jackson built his reputation on the backs of black ball players. To which I responded, Benji, and said, gee, I didn't realize these guys were volunteers. I had no idea. I didn't know they were out there playing for free. Who knew that we were buying tickets to watch guys that were out there playing a semi-organized pickup game? It's ludicrous to me and just crazy.
I mean, last I checked, they were paid very well, definitely many times higher than your average American salary. Yes, but it unfortunately that's the disease of a victimhood, and it's a shame because it's like they make it as though there's no other opinion as far as black thought, that everybody black has to be on this just on this victimhood trail that everybody's on, or just on the side of Black Lives Matter and not really having a conversation about an organization that people are still touting that we all know. It's a scam, unfortunately. And you know, Black Lives Matter itself works on two different levels. There are the people who go to the rallies, who have a real deep sense of concern about things that are going on as far as police brutality and things like that. And there are the people who are the higher-ups, who know better and who know what they're doing and who are scamming the people, as, you know, Patrice Cullors did with her four lovely homes.
No doubt.
Around the LA area. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, the other piece to this is, you know, I always go back to asking the question, okay, so why aren't you standing out in front of the abortion clinics? Why aren't you standing out in front of Planned Parenthood that has been wiping out the black population and sterilizing black women now for, 64 years? And whose founder, Margaret Sanger, up until recently had a bust and a statue, right? I believe at NAACP's headquarters, because she was touted as this great, you know, leader of black rights. Well, when anybody who paid any attention knew that she had come out and said, we need to kill all these people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because a lot of what the black struggle has been politicized. So it's whatever the Democrat Party says, as opposed to what makes sense, as opposed to what actually happens. I was an Uber driver back in 2016 working in the DNC in Philadelphia, and I actually ran into an abortion lobbyist, and I asked her that same thing. And she was from Alabama. She pretended like she had no idea what I was talking about. What? Why, whatever do you mean? And yes, exactly. That's how abortion is started. I mean, she said that she wanted to abort the Negro like the weed. Well, terminate the Negro like the weed, I believe was her exact words. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. And they finally had to pull that bust down, which I don't think that they did it because whatever. I think they did it because they finally were exposed for what it was. But it's, you know, when you talk about black on black, and here's the other thing, because I'm a white pastor, I'm told, well, if I say anything about what's happening in the black community, then I'm a racist for saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even look at it as a thing of black on black crime or white on white crime. I mean, crime is bad. Violence is bad. I think that we need to stop trying to, you know, quantify that and qualify that by color, because that just makes more argument to have. We need to just be kinder toward one another in general, which would be the Christian principle of all. No one should be doing any type of crime against anyone. But a lot of that crime, unfortunately, comes from poverty. And then where does the poverty come from? The poverty comes from the fact that we have a government who has sold out the American people and given all of our jobs to China, namely India and other countries over the past 40 years, because of black people, when black people immigrated from the Great Migration from the South to the North in the Industrial Revolution all through the 1910s through the 70s, those were the jobs that created the black middle class. And you have Democrats and Republicans who have come together, who have been paid by lobbyists to get rid of all those jobs. And if you look at the issues that we have in the black community, they're the same issue that happened in Appalachia as well, you know what I mean, in white communities, in poor white communities.
Absolutely.
And it really goes back to the fact that America has sold out its people. And that's, you know, and that's the part they don't want everyone to see. So while we're fighting over race and while we're having black on black crime and white on white this and Black Lives Matter and Antifa and blah, 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 we're not seeing the fact that we've been, you know, sold out by our government on both sides. And God forbid we come together and see this is what it actually is. I mean, that's the thing they don't want us to do. God forbid we talk about China, but China's about to be a subject as we are on the precipice of World War III, and we have to bring those jobs back. So we need to be bringing those jobs back to black and white communities.
Absolutely, because we're going to have to be prepared to deal with the fact that they're trying to isolate us, which is fine. Let them isolate us. You know, we've been isolated before, okay, and we did just great. But we also had control of the minerals. We all, you know, we were, and so again, you've got this radical left ideology, this climate change ideology, and I think it's ridiculous when they suggest that, well, you know, it's the poor minorities that are being hurt by the climate change. The climate is what's creating all. No. Your efforts to destroy the American economy is Absolutely. What is creating this issue. Coal and petroleum and natural gas are the least expensive and cleanest means by which for communities to power themselves, and nuclear energy, and we're shutting all of those things down. Mm-hmm. We're wiping those jobs out. Something else, too, just real quick to throw out, and then I'm going to throw this right back to you, Benji, is, you know, the $15 an hour. Remember how they were all about, we're going to push $15 an hour. We're going to. Years ago, I was in management with McDonald's. McDonald's was the number one entry-level position employer in the country. I mean, they employed tons of teens, tons mm-hmm. of people coming, you know, college students, what have you. It was an entry-level position. In fact, I went through their management training, their Burger U management training on site at the store that I was at. It was a corporate store. And it's some of the best training that you can get as far as understanding and managing people is concerned. Here's the point. All of that's wiped out, and we said this was going to happen, and look what McDonald's has done. They've automated the process now. They're opening up stores with literally three employees.
Yeah, well, it's a result of the fact that, you know, McDonald's used to be a job that you can get, you know, after high school, you know, when you junior high school, 14, 15 years old. But now you have grown people with bills having to work at McDonald's. But why is that? Because we have a manufacturing sector. The grown people jobs are all gone. So now it's like people are trying to do whatever they have to do to survive. Anytime I go to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or Burger King and see like a grown person working there, it's like, this is not the way things are supposed to be. That, and there's no reason why these jobs should be asking for that much money, but it's because we have grown people with bills having to work there, whereas back in the day, that really wasn't much the issue, because there were, and there was industry, there was manufacturing, there were jobs for grown people to do. So unfortunately, that's what's happened. And now when you push back against that, now it's the rise of the machines. And even going back to energy, mm-hmm. all these high gas prices, all they are is a tax on poor people. It's like Biden says no new taxes, but then, you know, gas has gone up twice as much. So guess what? It's a new tax on everybody, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, and then so they're trying to force us into electric vehicles that are mined by African children, like, you know, the cobalt and things like that.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, there's such hypocrisy. But if you look deeper, you'll see people like Jennifer Granholm, who's energy secretary that has all this money, put into the Green Ninja. They all are invested in it. Her, John Kerry. If you really look at the names that filed the money, you see what it is. And they're really selling out the American people. And what's even crazier is that all of this craziness has the cosign of the Congressional Black Caucus, where you would think if they were looking out for the interests of Black people, Black people are really getting squeezed by this gas situation. Like, you know, they may want, you know, electric flying cars and want to be the Jetsons in 2050, but people still have to get their Chevrolets and Subarus to work now. And what about those people?
Yep, absolutely. Well, and then the other thing is the housing bubble that's once again, you know, getting ready to burst. And then you have them changing the rules, and they claim that this is supposed to give, you know, other people an opportunity. But the reality is they're doing the same thing that they did before, which is that they're taking people and they are putting them into an untenable position. And ultimately, when the bubble bursts, those people that they put in that untenable position end up homeless.
Yeah, they're reinforcing poverty. But I mean, as people are homeless, as people are more poor, they're more dependent on government. They are more reliable for votes. And that's really what it's all about. Because God, I even say about the reparation situation, I had an article. I have an article up right now, actually, on my Substack, BenJerby.com, where I talk about reparations and the fact that this is a thing that Democrats talk about, but they have no intention to ever do this. Because why would the party of the poor want Black people to be suddenly rich? If we were all billionaires tomorrow, you know, that would give us choices. We'd have more choices. Money gives you choices. And we may not choose them in the next election if we have the choice, if we have money, if we're having property, if we're owning businesses. We're not going to want to be taxed up the wazoo. So they want to keep people as dependent as possible, chasing fantasies and dreams, and, you know, not having people be independent.
Well, and so
not as easily controlled.
And so reparations becomes the new welfare, essentially. I mean, that really is what that is.
I wouldn't even insult welfare by saying that, because at least welfare is something that's real. You know what I mean? Like, reparations is literally a fantasy. They're going to give you, and I go into arguments with this all the time, and like, oh, you're a coon, you're a sellout. But if you think about it and do the math, if we're talking $5 million by 20 million people, that's $100 trillion. The U.S. budget for 2022 was $6 trillion. So where in the world are we getting $100 trillion? Like, that's not even, that makes no sense whatsoever. No one sits and does the math, because we're supposed to get all emotionally wrapped up in it. And I tell white people as well, because they try to make it like, oh, do Black people deserve reparations or don't deserve reparations? That's not the question you ask, because does Ukraine deserve $100 billion of our dollars? They do not. But Ukraine has bipartisan support. Reparations does not. And not even Democrats want to support reparations, to be honest, because if you look at the 2024 elections, with people who are up for re-election, like John, like senators like John Tester and Joe Manchin and what's his name in Ohio, Sherrod Brown, these people would never vote a yes on reparations. This is not real. And I just keep telling Black folks, I am sorry. I hate to be the one to break it to you. I hate to be that guy. But when you look at it and just make it make sense. And another thing about reparations as well, school choice. Now, school choice is amazing. That's a wonderful thing that we should be doing, taking the government funds that are given to these failing public schools and put it into any school that a parent wants, whether it be like a religious school or, you know, an Afrocentric school or whatever school, private school, homeschool. But if Democrats are not for that, for giving you $30,000 a year for that, then why would they want to give you $5 million? Like, these things make no sense. I just need people to take time to think about what's being thrown at them.
It's well, it has to do
emotionally moving
sure.
from
it has to do with the messaging, Benji. It has to do, and right. You know, there are issues. The school choice issue. I've got friends that, you know, that, and we've talked about this. The only issue that I have with school choice is what they need to do is let the people keep the money. Because once it passes through the hands of government and then comes back. Now, again, the thing that you just talked about, you've given government control.
Yes.
You need what needs to happen is we need to, just like we're fighting down here in Texas, we're fighting to remove property taxes. We just had a bond measure that they're trying to push through that I voted no on, local school bond measure. Oh, how could you vote no for? Well, I'll tell you why. Texas has a $33 billion surplus. $33 billion. Well, where did that money come from? Hello? Us. Came from right. The people, okay?
Right.
And yet now, and so you have a legislature that promises to reduce property taxes, while at the same time, the local county is starved out. They're not given any of those funds. And so now they say, well, we need a bond. It's a $76 million bond. Well, stop and think about that. Think about how little, how minuscule that is compared to a $33 billion surplus. The state could write the check tomorrow and resolve the issues that our school district is having. And it's our money to begin with. Our local officials need to put a demand on the state government and say, give us back our money. Give us back the money that we gave you so that we can resolve this situation and not raise taxes on our citizens.
Absolutely. I mean, the government can resolve a lot of issues. I mean, they're out there printing money, but then they want to hire 87,000 IRS agents to prosecute you and I, which makes no sense. I'm totally for the abolishment of IRS. It's a scam in general. There should be a flat tax, and the government needs to do more with less. It makes no sense that, and it's funny because people are lulled into this whole thing about, taxes and taxes being somehow benevolent or something. It's not as though they're actually taking the tax money and doing things supposed to do with it. Oh, such and such didn't pay their taxes. Donald Trump doesn't want to pay taxes. Can you blame them? It's not like they're actually doing anything good with the money. It's just more corruption, more Ukraine, more war. We left how many billions of dollars of equipment in Afghanistan? Like, that is a total waste. And it's like, while we're out here, but we're out here protesting Black Lives Matter. The real protest that they'll want is Black people, white people, Asian people, all to march on Washington and say, we're not doing this tax thing anymore. That's the protest they really don't want. So we have to be mired in Black Lives Matter and this, and Oscar's so white, and this is happening, and blah, 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 blah. And Nick Fuentes is saying this stupid stuff about white nationalism and all this other stupid stuff, whereas they don't want the American people to come together to see that we are all getting screwed. Excuse my language.
But no, you're right. The protest. But we
and
are.
I'm not a protest guy. I'm not a protest guy. I'm not really so much of a boycott guy. I mean, not really watching Fox right now. But not really so much of that guy. But I am the guy who says, let's get together and do that march for taxes. Now, that march for taxes, that one, I'll be bright and early in D.C. for that one. We need to, if we can all get together one day, and hopefully, I mean, things are getting bad enough. It just may get that to that point. At this point, we're about to lose the country. Seriously. Between, with this World War III thing impending, that's the real protest.
Well, and the economic, you've got, I mean, the BRIC situation that's going on, that's something. And I've seen people posting saying, yeah, come on, BRICS. And I'm thinking, that is not good for
that's the end
for
of the country.
Yeah. Yep.
The petrodollar is what's, honestly, as much as we love America, the reason why America has been at the top is because we've basically cheated the international system of governance and finance, and that we are at the top because we have that petrodollar. Once everybody else gets together and assembles around us or assembles outside of us, it's a wrap. I mean, China and India alone. China and India are 40% of the world by itself. Two countries. That's it. 40% of the world. And, we have a president who is a doddering fool, who is senile, and who is totally, 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 totally messing things up as far as foreign policy. It's crazy. As crazy as Donald Trump is, no one ever would have thought that he would have been like the best foreign policy statesman of our lifetimes. That was not on my bingo card for 2023, but being without him and seeing how the world is totally falling apart and how our relationships are falling apart and how we have China negotiating a relationship between Saudi Arabia and Iran is absolutely crazy. We are losing allies left and right. I mean, we even have countries in Europe who are saying that, we're still getting out oil from Russia. I mean, we see what you're saying, U.S., and that's nice and everything, but we're still getting out oil from Russia. So we're losing friends all over the world.
And well, we are. I will say this. I'm a former Cold War Russian linguist, and so I've been following Russia for 50 years. And I can, 40 years. And I can tell you that there's a lot of disinformation that is out there with regards to the whole Russia-Ukraine situation that we need to be incredibly careful about. Putin is not our friend. Putin has no interest in defending Christian values whatsoever. Krill is the head of the Orthodox Church in Russia. actually, I know for a fact that he allowed for orphans, Russian orphans, to be killed by the Russian armies.
And I'm sure.
And that was
not wonderful. Putin is not wonderful at all. If we really hated Putin like we say we did, we would be energy independent. We'd be making our own energy, and we'd be supplying Europe with energy, and there would be no money for the war in Ukraine.
Which is exactly what President Trump was doing.
Exactly.
He was creating it. And if Trump had remained in office, Putin never would have attacked. Well, Putin never would have attacked Ukraine. Never would have happened. The only reason he was able to do it was because he knew that he had Europe by the cojones, because he was holding on to their energy. And that's the reason why he was able to do it. And, of course, Germany was foolish in how they dealt with that situation. But what was worse was what Biden did to unwind our involvement in energy. And he essentially made us an energy orphan when he took over. And as a result of that, that's the reason why the petrodollar situation is even on the table for any form of discussion whatsoever. It's these policies that he's done are so anti-American and so destructive, but they are a carryover of the Obama policies. And remember that it was Obama's purpose to turn America into a third world country. Final minute, Benji.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, and also they're just very petulant, petty children, the Democrats are. It's like anything that Trump did, we have to do the opposite. If Trump says it's black, then it's white. If Trump says it's green, then it's red. So it's like they were coming in just trying to undo things. And really, to be honest, and I'm not really here to give Biden advice, but if Biden were smart, because Biden has a much better PR team, obviously, than Trump has, all he would have had to do was just keep the successful stuff going on and just say he did it. The media would have lied and covered for him if he were smart. That's all he really had to do. He just had to sail in and say, this is all, I did all this. And people are like, yeah, I believe it. Because, I mean, the media's going to tell him. But no, he had to be an idiot and go and reverse everything. And at the end of the day, I mean, I guess, I always say for Trump coming up, the best thing that ever happened to Trump was Joe Biden. Because at the end of the day, they can't use the hyperbole, the world's going to end, we're going to starve. If a Republican got to it, people can now look at themselves and say, look, at the end of the day, were you better off 4 or 5 years ago than you are right now?
Yep.
And we can look at the world. We can see, you know, where gas prices are, where taxes are, where
inflation.
We have 87,000, inflation, 87,000 IRS agents, but like zero agents at the border.
Yep.
Crime is all over the place, going crazy. So, I mean, I think people have a really important decision to make. And I would hate for people to get caught up in all these, you know, like Phil Jackson was saying, all these, you know, Black Lives Matter issues and all these other things. And it's not that police brutality isn't a thing. It is a thing. And I think that police should, you know, treat people obviously in the right way, in a lawful way. But there are way more white people that get killed by police. And we can look at the Washington Post database, which is, you know, not a right wing publication at all.
Yep.
And find that out. So, yep. I mean, this is propaganda. They're using this lie to people to try to get black people on their side. And please, black folks, don't believe the reparations lie. The same lie as the student loan thing. They're going to do it. Do something unconstitutional. Get your vote. Then once they get your vote, the Republicans, it's their fault. When they never intend to do that in the first place. Because again, why would the party of the poor, where their policies is the poor, want black people to be rich? It makes no sense.
And they don't. Benji Irby, Project 21, Black Leadership, nationalcenter.org, nationalcenter.org. Click on the tab for Project 21 Black Leadership. You'll be able to get directed over, and you can follow Benji Irby, BenjiIrby. Benji, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. All right, we'll be back with more. Scott Shepard joins us on the other side. We're going to talk about Free Enterprise Project and how they are exposing corporate wokeism.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is If there's a nuclear bomb, or there's pollution, or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use, or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. My co-host, Rick Manning, Americans for Limited Government. Hey, Rick, welcome. Good to have you.
Hey Pastor Greg. Glad to be on.
You're still in Aruba. And also joining us is Scott Shepherd, National Center for Public Policy Research, the Free Enterprise Project. Scott, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks so much. Great to be back with you, Pastor Greg.
Well, so there's a great deal going on. Now, you guys also are involved in, did you guys file a lawsuit as well? Isn't there a lawsuit going on as well as the shareholders' issues?
Yep. Well, we've been suing the SEC on some other grounds. We're suing the executive at Starbucks for discrimination. But just this past week, we filed suit against the SEC because, you know, we've been doing these shareholder proposals for a long time. And the staff at the SEC has given itself the power to decide which proposals can get on companies' proxy ballots and which can't. And they're profoundly, profoundly biased against conservative center-right proposals, and they don't give full explanations for their decisions, just a sentence. And so that violates the Administrative Procedures Act. It violates their statutory remit under the Securities Exchange Act. It violates the First Amendment. And so we're going after the SEC for its lawlessness.
Scott, hold on. You're telling me that the Security and Exchange Commission makes the decision on what amendments, what changes to board of directors, to corporate bylaws, are allowed to be heard and decided by the shareholders. They make that decision under what legislative authority?
Well, that's one of our claims. They've built a whole edifice out of this over the years, regulatory edifice, but we tracked it back. And our, I should point out, we and our lawyers at Boyd & Gray & Associate, just terrific, a terrific team of John Barry and Caleb Orr and Trent McCotter, wonderful guys. But we traced it all the way back to the Securities Exchange Act, and there doesn't seem to be anything there. I mean, decisions on what can go on proxy ballots, decisions about corporate law are state issues. For the SEC to have any power over them, it has to have been granted directly. There doesn't seem to be any grant of power. So not only is it discriminating, but it's discriminating in a process that it doesn't have any authority to undertake in the first place.
And the good news is that just a year ago, year and a half ago, they passed, the Supreme Court decided something called West Virginia versus EPA, and which really limits the power of the administrative state. Does that come into play in terms of dealing with their expanded administrative power they've claimed?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that one of the claims that we will be putting in detail is that, you know, that what West Virginia and EPA broadly stood for, amongst other things, is that issues that would involve huge amounts of money and really change the American economy or the American way of life, if an agency wants to act about those issues, it has to have been granted specific and clear statutory authority. Well, that grant isn't here in this case. And of course, if you can control the ballots and control who gets to and who doesn't get to pressure companies in these days when companies have decided to jump in on political issues, you're talking about, when you include decarbonization, trillions of dollars of America's future prosperity. And so this is a very big deal, and it's a very significant issue, and I think that West Virginia versus EPA comes right into play.
All right, so let me ask this then. How does that play up against the Chevron doctrine?
Well, I think there's a direct involvement there also, because in order to try to cobble together an argument that any of this is proper under the Securities and Exchange Act, okay, the SEC is going to have to rely on the Chevron doctrine. The Chevron doctrine gives deference to agencies to decide for themselves what they are and aren't limited to do. But the courts have been looking at Chevron and been saying, well, maybe we shouldn't make agencies judges of their own power, because they're always going to find more power for themselves and more things to get into and to govern our lives. So lots of courts are looking at rolling back the Chevron doctrine. Lots of justices have indicated that they're interested in that. We could see the Chevron doctrine blow up, and the executive-led intrusive government of the Obama administration and now this execrable administration get wound significantly back.
And Chevron doctrine is being rumored out of the court, that Supreme Court, that the Chevron doctrine is going to be revisited in this particular session. You know, one of the interesting things about it is you don't have to actually have something that's directly challenging the Chevron doctrine. All it has to do is say the administration went too far and on a regulation. And then the court can say, yes, they did. And the doctrine that was created in a case, NRDC versus Chevron, that gave bureaucrats wide range of authority and power, that went too far. And it's at that point, you tie that with West Virginia versus EPA, which says you have to have clear statutory authority. And it rips the heart out of the administrative state and gives us a lot of legal avenues to try to tear down the most egregious regulations that have done the most damage to America. So, and this thing you're talking about with the SEC, I'm dumbfounded that the Security and Exchange Commission somehow is involved in the corporate governance of publicly traded companies to the extent that they decide what they can even have on their ballot, their governance ballot. That's astonishing to me.
Well, and not only have they arrogated this, have they granted this power to themselves, but they've also set up this jerry-rigged system that makes it all that makes it very difficult to review their decisions. They don't provide this. They don't provide written decisions. Just a sentence of one sentence of opaque explanation. So it's a completely corrupt process. And there's another case that the New Civil Liberties Alliance argued a case at the Supreme Court this term and won that established that you don't have to exhaust pointless agency remedies and run through all the hoops that these agencies established to keep you from being able to get into federal court to get review in order to get that review from a federal court. And so there's a constellation of cases that are going to be of great assistance to us. And we hope one of the things we hope to do with this suit is to advance that ball in tearing down the regulatory state.
And one of the ways they'll do that is that the court's already ruled that substantive due process through the decision that they made on Roe v. Wade was really was bogus law. And that was part of the process that they used to substantiate the Obergefell decision as well as the Chevron doctrine. It's all predicated on this idea of substantive due process.
Yeah, we used to laugh about substantive due process when I was in law school 300 or 400 years ago. That, due process is by definition, it's right in the name. Due process is a procedural consideration. So substantive due process is like talking about brown, yellow, red.
Yeah, exactly.
Or better, green, yellow, red, because you can't have a green, red.
All right. Let's jump over into what you're doing to hold these woke corporations accountable at shareholder meetings. Talk to me a little bit about what's going on with regards to that. You've got a press release that's come out talking about how you're going to be, basically saying to them, hey, you know, your policies here seem to target specific individuals and groups. And as shareholders, we're saying that from a fiduciary perspective, you're not taking care of your duties.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. As we've already discussed, when we can get past the SEC review and bias process to get on ballots, we're having that opportunity. We're going after corporations that have proudly and gleefully admitted as part of their equity programs that they're discriminating against non-diverse groups. They're discriminating against whites, guys, straight people in order to help diverse groups. And they're discriminating in ways that are facially illegal and even unconstitutional. And so we're pointing those programs out to them in public and how they're illegal so that we and others can then sue them. And they can't claim that we didn't know the Constitution didn't allow this because we've gotten it into the record. We're going after corporations that have signed on for the UN-style political schedule decarbonization, the stuff that would bankrupt millions of Americans, make us live small, constrained lives, live out in the country with an electric car if we can afford one, and be able to drive 30 miles a day, which would just get you back and forth from the store a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to do is destroy rural America, gather us all into close, tight cities where they can keep control over us. We're asking the companies why it is that they're pushing decarbonization for us peons, but they keep private jets and they go to Davos every winter to celebrate their brilliance and to eat $500 Reuben sandwiches and such. And we're attacking the corporations kowtowing to China. Listen, we just talked last week. I was at the Goldman Sachs shareholder meeting. It turns out that Goldman Sachs.
Hold that.
No,
you're good. We're going to take a quick break. Let's hold that. Let's talk about Goldman Sachs when we come back from this break. And then I also would like to get your opinions and your thoughts with regards to what's going on in the battle in Florida regarding woke Disney and the lawsuit that they've now decided that they're going to file against Governor DeSantis and against Florida for essentially taking away their privilege to be able to have an autonomous zone, which I thought you couldn't do, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just mistaken. But anyway, we'll be back to talk about that coming up right after this brief break. Hang on, let me get all my buttons lined out here. And all right, here we go. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have Clans Light. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clans Light is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest, my co-host, Rick Manning, Americans for Limited Government. Find him at getliberty.org, getliberty.org. And then also Scott Shepherd, National Center for Public Policy Research, nationalcenter.org, under the Free Enterprise Project, Free Enterprise Project. Scott, you were beginning to talk to us about the other one, not J.P. Morgan.
Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. So go back into that Goldman Sachs story and then talk to us about, what's happening there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pastor Greg, I'm a reforming lawyer. We tend to talk through talk too much, and so I didn't mean to talk you into the break.
No, you're great. You're great. Go for it.
Here's what's up at Goldman Sachs. Among other things, this is just what we found in time to get involved in the proposal process. But they've got an emerging markets ETF, GEM ETF. It's invested in a bunch of Chinese companies. One of the Chinese companies, the most worrying thing here is that one of the Chinese companies is a subsidiary of the Chinese company, China National Nuclear Corporation or Company, that designs and manufactures and develops the Chinese nuclear arsenal, lots of which is aimed directly at all of us. And they don't disclose that fact to GEM investors. So GEM investors don't know that they're funding the nukes pointed at us. And their excuse for that is, well, you know, it's not the principal that we're invested in. It's just a subsidiary. That's like saying that you've invested $1,000 in Frito-Lay, but you don't think that the revenues or the profits or any intellectual information is flowing from Frito-Lay to its parent company, Pepsi. It's stupid. They said, they responded, well, we're not directly violating U.S. sanctions. Well, but the Trump administration put out a list of subsidiaries that were highly likely to be undertaking exactly this sort of bait and switch, and they couldn't even be bothered to acknowledge that. So, you know, not only do they have a duty not to trade with sanctioned companies, but they have a duty to disclose information like you might be funding China's nukes and they might be aimed at your house. So there's another case where one of these big banks that we're all backstopping is too big to fail, right? Even conservative investors, even those who don't want to be nuked. It's another one of those cases where private action lawsuits, I think, could accomplish quite a lot. And what we were trying to do in part was to set up those lawsuits to get Goldman to see right.
Talk to me about, I want to get your thoughts with regards to the situation with Disney. That's been a really big battle that's been going on, and now Disney has decided to file a lawsuit against Ron DeSantis, essentially, for Florida, saying you're not entitled to an autonomous zone in Florida. You know, I mean, that really is kind of at the root of this. Am I right in that, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, you'll recall, your listeners will surely recall that Disney came out and attacked DeSantis's bill. And what DeSantis's bill said was, don't teach about sexuality and sex to tiny, tiny school children.
Right.
And instead, they called it the Don't Say Gay bill. They lied about what the bill went. Disney went toe-to-toe with lies, and DeSantis responded. Found out that they'd been running their own little fiefdom in Middle Florida and withdrew the Reedy Creek autonomous zone. And they responded by setting up essentially perpetuities, boring legal stuff, but tried to end run around that proposition. Now, perpetuities are illegal at law. You can't just keep something that the legislature withdraws forever by private action. In lots of cases, I wish we could, but you can't, and Disney can't. And Disney doesn't seem to have declared itself an Indian tribe, so it doesn't have any right to be an autonomous nation within the United States. And so DeSantis is responding in turn, and I think that the state of Florida is going to win this fight, but that Disney is so run by the wokesters in its midst that it filed this hopeless lawsuit, that it's going to fight it out on this line if it takes years, and the destruction of Disney. Disney's stock value is down 40% from its heights. It's not winning this fight.
Speaking of corporations that aren't winning this fight, what's your take with regards to the situation on Bud Light?
He's buying more and more of it. Can't you tell?
<That's right. laughs> Check out my dress size. No, I mean,
just check his closet.
That's right. I'll tell you, Pastor Greg, what I think about Bud Light is that years ago, when I got interested in this area of activity, I was warned by somebody who knew a lot more than me that don't say get woke, woke, go broke, because there are lots of examples that that's not happening. Gillette had that ridiculous trans commercial where the best a man can get is apparently to act like is to be a woman who shaves. And I started to do the get woke, go broke line, and I was warned that doesn't stand up in the figures yet. But sure enough, it does now. I mean, part of why Disney stock collapsed is because it's been making this woke crap. It's been destroying Star Wars. It destroyed the Marvel movie series. It destroyed lots of its properties because people don't want to watch this. And so it's down 60%. Bud Light, it turns out that Bud Light probably shouldn't have offended the frat boys and middle class, working class people who drink Bud Light.
Yeah.
In order to appease whatever we're going to call Dylan Mulvaney, and they've lost a quarter of their volume of sales in just a couple of weeks, and it's accelerating. The reduction is accelerating, and people have caught on that Busch Light and some other brands are also part of Anheuser-Busch, and they're
Michelob. That's a people have caught on. It's a, and you know, one of the things that's true is brand affinity often drives sales, and it's not necessarily taste. It's nothing specific to the brand. It's just, I drink Bud. That's who I am. I'm a Budweiser drinker. And if you sit there and you say the brand betrays you, then what happens is you say, well, I'm still going to drink beer, but Maybe I should become a free agent here. My contracts run out, and so the other beer distributors end up benefiting. And suddenly, the bar says, "Well, you know, I'm pulling the tap for Bud Light out because nobody's ordering it, and I'm putting a tap in for, let's say, Coors Light." And not that Coors Light is less woke than the Coors is any less woke. They're, you know, it's just Bud Light has put themselves kind of in the, they put the laser on the on their own chest and pull the trigger. And it's a, and so how do they get, how does a corporate brand like Budweiser, is this, are they in a death spiral, or they can they come out of this by coming out with some cute blue night commercials?
Hmm. Well, I think they're going to have to change your behavior for quite a long time to come out of this. These are huge losses. And I, Rick, that was a really good point. This is like the old Ford Chevy loyalties, right? You know, generations of, I forget which one we were, but my grandparents had a farm and all of ours was one or the other. So that's worn off over the years. Right. I don't think I'd ever buy an American car again. But if what it means is that kind of loyalty crumbling away, they're not going to forgive this in just a couple of weeks because they have a nice Clydesdale commercial. In fact, they came up with one of these traditional commercials aimed at young people. So, you know, the people are supposed to be all gaga about this trans stuff and they got, as the kids say, they got ratioed so hard that they had to pull the ad and cut comments on it. Everybody hated this pandering.
They're in a lot of trouble. Let me just throw in this one last piece, though, and I know we really don't have time to get into a great deal of conversation about it, but maybe we can the next time around. But that is the multinational corporation issue that we're dealing with as well. When you look at the NFL, when you look at the NBA, you know, you talked a little bit about China earlier in the conversation. You know, even when you look at InBev, as an example, who is the owner over all these brands, although they lost, you know, probably $6-7 billion, let's say they wiped out all of their North American sales. When you look at their growth and you look at their prospectus, all their growth is happening elsewhere anyway. That's what they care about. In the time that they lost the $6 billion here, they gained $16 billion around the world. And that is another big problem. And that goes to, Rick, what you've been battling, and Scott, what you've been battling. This is policy. These are policy issues. Policy issues where this administration is allowing foreign nationals to come in and buy up American companies and take them offshore so that literally they don't care about our market. And that's a major issue.
Yes, it is.
I think that's exactly right.
Well, your SEC thing, though, Scott, your SEC thing, how can people help with that? Is there anything they can do?
Well, I mean,
10 seconds.
We'll have updates about how it's ticking along. Maybe we can talk again. And as things come further into focus, we can let people know. Back to the Bud thing for just a second, what people listening and viewing could do. If anyone knows or happens to be a Bud distributor with a contract, if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Free Enterprise Project International Center.
Yes, yes.
I'd really like to find and help somebody set up a lawsuit against them, because I'm pretty sure that those contracts don't allow the headquarters, the International InBev, to burn down a brand that they rely on for their
their
living. And
absolutely.
So anybody who's had any leads for that, I would be so grateful.
And you can reach out to them, nationalcenter.org. Click on the Free Enterprise Project tab, nationalcenter.org. Free Enterprise. You can even just go to contact at nationalcenter.org and type in as a subject matter, Bud Distributor, and they'd love to be able to hear from you. We got to jump, man. We're out of time. God bless you guys. Thanks, both of you, for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it. Great conversation today. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up. Fake news ahead. Michael Morris joins us. MRC, Newsbusters, and Censor Track coming up right after this brief break. And we're clear.